are listening to the Cleveland Guardians Fancast, hosted by Quincy Wheeler and friends, a podcast about the Cleveland professional baseball team and its fans.
Doing your due diligence.
We only invite people who've been blocked by Cleveland Guardians perspective.
I shouldn't be here.
Get out, buddy.
I haven't been blocked by them yet either.
Oh, jeez.
So, do we have a minority here?
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Cleveland Guardians Fancast. It's the Guardians party line, and we have a special guest today. Reese from Guardians Twitter is here with us. Welcome, Reese.
Dobrый вечер, товарищ, как дела?
Wow, so well said. and that will thrill our Russian listeners. Our Russian listeners finally have someone who is there for them. And Alys, how are you tonight?
Bonjour, je suis bien.
Oh boy. I'm gonna have a tough time tonight. Yes,
we have an international audience going.
Yeah, I expect something from every one of them now. Allie, welcome.
Hello. I forgot my emotional support drink, which I need for all speaking opportunities, so this will be rough from me.
She greeted us in Indiana tonight.
yeah.
Mike, how are you?
Oh, you know, hanging in there, squeezing past you and grabbing the ranch.
I'll take the blue ranch or the blue cheese.
The blue ranch.
It's a little mixture. It's like mayo chup.
Oh, great. Yeah, Reese is here tonight, so we could totally get into if each Guardian were a condiment, what would they be? That could definitely happen.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Reese, I'll get back to this. Andrew, how are you?
Hola, muy bien, y tú?
Ah, there we go. I can understand that. So nice. And Eli, how are you?
The only language I could do this in is Latin, so I'm not going to do that.
I was hoping maybe you'd bust out the New Testament Greek, because I could do that.
True. Quincy and I are maybe, my Greek's pretty rusty, though. My Latin's better right now.
I'm definitely the in Indiana Jones, you know, the professor in The Last Crusade is walking through the market saying, "Does anyone speak ancient Greek?" That's me when I go in foreign countries.
Yeah. You could translate the Rosetta Stone for us.
There we go.
Right. That's Quincy and I could do that. But I don't know, Quincy, your Greek might be better than mine right now. In 2020, during lockdown, I got out all of my Latin composition books and started doing Latin comp again, and now my Latin's better than my Greek. But when I first graduated seminary, my Greek was better than my Latin.
Yeah, seminary will do that to you. Yeah. I was gonna say, so Reese and I are trying to lead a exodus of people to Hive and Blue Sky over Twitter, because Elon Musk is just a horrible human being and I hate everything. Just, you know, okay, today, this is just a brief example. I was trying to get to something on Lamole's account. So I'm searching Franmil's eyebrows, right? I had to literally get to Franmi before it gave me his account in my search bar.
My thing
How
is
can that be? Like,
no,
why?
Literally, especially
what's
when you're
doing?
Following him and interact with him a lot. I don't get
I do,
that.
Right.
Right.
How is the search function not have that figured out? I don't
get it. Every once in a while, mine gets really jacked up. And if I go to send a tweet to a group chat, our group chat, right? I'll try to send a tweet. And normally the ones that I send tweets to the most pop up. But every once in a while, the algorithm gets all messed up and it'll list a bunch of random accounts that I haven't messaged in forever, but I'm so used to hitting the top one. I've been so close to accidentally sending random tweets to Al Pulowski or something, because I don't message them.
You should.
All of a sudden, it'll be the first option. And I'm why would I send him this? What are you thinking?
You send him something, he brings it up on the broadcast. That'd be great.
Yeah, maybe.
So we'll see I was the next time he sees a very him. Cute photo of a puppy the other day, randomly here on the DMs.
Right, exactly. That's what it would be like. And I'm just like, no, why? Like, why? It should pop up. You guys and then my other Twitter group chat should be the, because they're the only two that I send like tweets to.
Yeah, so on the topic of DMs, like the limiting, it is so annoying for so many reasons. I'm always like, who's messaging Guardians out of context? It's myself, because I constantly use up my rate limits, so I have my other account in like all three of my group chats just so I can be like, hey, here's a tweet that I saw. Or the other day I was messaging someone and I got rate limit in the middle of it. It's like, you guys, I would just text, I have your numbers, and I would be like, hey, got rate limited, or I DM you from out of context, but they're not following me on there, so I couldn't message them on Guardians out of context because they needed to be following me back. And I didn't want to tweet out, hey, sorry for ignoring you, I'm DM limited. It's just so annoying.
Oh, I've definitely just tweeted it out before because then everyone knows. Because
yeah.
My problem is I'll tell a story with like one message per like sentence, which is very inefficient for this. Because I'll be like, yeah, I saw a puppy yesterday. New message. And I know. Puppy, blah, blah, blah. Like, I can't.
I'll do like a little like, message.
Why don't I just put it in one thing? But I right? don't.
I'll do a little message. I'll do two spaces under it if I really need to. So I'm not using up all my messages.
Yeah, it's, I really am trying to break myself of that habit, but I can't do it. And then I get rate limited in like the middle of a story. And then what am I supposed to do? And unlike all of you cool people, I don't have any alt accounts. So I'm just like, well, guess I'm done.
The moral of the story is come on over to Hive and Blue Sky, everybody. And I was going to say, Reese, I think one of the things I'd like to do when you go over to Hive is that you and I can figure out which Guardians player would be which doctor from Doctor Who.
That
is where our fan interests collide. And we have many, Reese and I have many places where our fan interests collide. Doctor Who, dinosaurs, Guardians. Reese, you know a lot more about like anime and professional wrestling than I do, I noticed, though.
I have a whole eclectic interest of hyperfixations, I will say that. A lot of things don't make sense. But off the top of my head, I'm going to say this right now. Jose's the fourth doctor, and not for the reasons that you think.
I
will say that.
Okay, we won't spend the whole time on it because I don't know if we have any other Doctor Who fans. But why would you say the fourth doctor? I'm interested in that.
Because Jose is just such an interesting fellow in that he is very eccentric, but he's also kind of a little subdued in it.
Uh-huh.
And if I looked at Tom Baker's like really good performances as the fourth doctor, he is very eccentric, but he's also very subdued in it. So his hyperfixation with jelly babies relates to Jose's hyperfixation with Mario Kart. So that's Mario Kart is the jelly baby.
Maybe Jose's
for the Guardian.
Maybe Jose's cheek is constantly full of jelly babies. Anybody ever think of that?
That's the good outcome.
Yeah, I know, for his mouth. I won't go further down the Doctor Who road other than this, Reese, but I think I might go with the second doctor. And that would be on the basis of I think the second doctor is the GOAT, and I think that Jose is the best ever. And then also the second doctor is short and also very eccentric, like constantly. Yeah, like,
you know what? That's a good point. That's a very good point.
We'll think about this. We'll give this some thought.
Yes. We'll give a thought.
Yeah. So that's the kind of content I can see everyone here is excited about.
Come to Hive, everyone. Hive is great.
My favorite.
Hive is good.
Your videos. Well, there's not like a bad tweet. You've never made bad content. It always cracks me up.
Yeah. Oh, I will prove you wrong.
No. Your videos especially get me. Like the Guardians as Vines, spot on. But also the Guardians Gooby Woobies I think about daily. So when Quincy mentioned that Jose's the goat, all I could think of was his Gooby Woobie. He's hella goat.
I cannot tell you, and I'm not trying to hype myself up by saying this, I cannot tell you how many people I know in my real life whose entire vocabulary when it talks to the guards has been ruined thanks to that video. Like, if it's not, like, Eli Morgan being referred to as Gub Gub.
My mom has referred to him as that because of the video. That is Gub Gub.
it works. Hey, that reminds me of something. The other day, I got recognized from Twitter, and that's never happened to me before in my life. And I was like, I really need to probably stop being on Twitter at this point. But
you're that guy from Hive, aren't you?
Yeah, right. But I went to the Akron Rubber Ducks game, and the guy who was taking my ticket was like, oh, I know you from Twitter. And I was like, oh, well, that's sad.
That's happened to me before. Thankfully, not at work, because I'm waiting for one day for some kid to come in for a tour, and they're like, wait. And I'm going to be like, no. But, like, that's happened at games. Like, one time, like, someone was like, I think I follow you on Twitter. I was like, probably. Then at home opener, I was with Michael Hook, and someone went, you're the Twitter guy, aren't you?
I was doing a funeral once for one of my people, and the member's grandson said that
they knew you from Twitter. That's special.
We lost Eli in the middle of the funeral story.
I was able to finish it, I believe.
It's kind of like sending DMs on Twitter.
We're giving you the authentic experience, everybody who's not on Twitter.
Sorry, Eli, if you're back, your internet cut out for a second.
Yeah, it did cut out. I think I'm back.
Okay.
But yeah, I was doing a funeral once, and one of the member's grandson said that he followed me on Twitter, and I was like, oh no. I didn't know that was a thing that was happening.
Andrew, what were you saying earlier?
Along the lines of what a couple of other people were sharing, I was at a game probably about 6 weeks ago, and Christos just walked up to me and goes, you're Andrew from Twitter, right? And I'm like, yeah. It was the night I wore my Hunter Gaddis outfit. And he goes, I'm Christos. Oh, yeah. I follow you on Twitter.
Christos is a great follow. That same day
he messaged me, and he went, I met a celebrity at the game today, and I went, Hunter Gaddis. And my grandma the other day, so he had that honor of me.
Oh, wow.
Icon herself.
Nice. Yeah, Christos is a great follow. I enjoy him on Twitter. Yep.
One of the best mustaches ever on Twitter.
Oh, it's
He keeps trying to get
to that. He's got some authority to speak to that.
Pitchers to grow facial hair. I won't say which one, but he sent a message to Gavin Williams the other day, and I don't think Gavin's seen it that I knew, but it was something like, hey, I'm a huge fan. I think, you know, you remind me of the Aces from the 80s and 90s who had these cool stashes. I think you should rock.
On the note of getting a certain relief pitcher to grow facial hair, I saw his mock-up of that and what it would look like, and it was a real jump scare because I thought, why is Chris Perez on my timeline in the year of 2020? I didn't like it. So
no, Eli Morgan is refined Chris Perez. Reformed Chris Perez. No more marijuana for the dog.
Wait, what about that tweet earlier that it was like, don't let the Guardians lunchroom, you know, like our tables and everything, distract you from Karen Check and his dog water.
Yes, I did see that. I did see that.
I do think, though, at some point it's imperative that we discuss a baseball game that was played today by the Cleveland Guardians baseball team of Cleveland, Ohio.
The only Ohio team. Now, me saying that caused
Mike bringing us back in the rails, you know, that's how it goes.
You're really going to make us do work here?
We signed up for work, Eli.
So guys, of course, I had just got to the point of reconciliation with the fact that Cole Calhoun will be starting for us for the rest of the season, and he got a two-run single that was crucial for us in this game. So
you can't not like the dude.
He tries so hard out there. He just loves baseball.
Right.
But I don't. Did anybody else hear the post game on Sunday? Because a couple days before Sunday, Tito talked about he just likes baseball. The guy just likes baseball. But after Sunday, like it was uncomfortable how much he loved Cal Calhoun. Like it was a serious love affair. Like it's like this guy, He likes baseball. He just likes baseball.
This is his and, Shaw.
Oh,
he, no, but like Cole Calhoun might be Terry Francona. They might share a brain. It is uncanny. The way that he talks about baseball is the way Tito's talked about baseball since Tito was 38 years old. Cole Calhoun is 35.
That, are you thinking maybe they brought Cole Calhoun on because he's going to be our next manager?
Maybe they're showing him around, showing him some offices, thinking about like what this could mean for him in the future. Maybe he likes to, you know, work at an affiliate before he makes the big jump to being a manager. It's unusual for guys that are outfielders to do that.
So
it's
usually a catcher.
He could Jeff Saturday it, you know, they just like him. They just think he's neat.
He's neat. That boy nice.
In a different way. He's a nice man.
Terry, why are you always going on about Calhoun? I just think he's neat.
Mike, I think that Terry Francona thinks that boy nice. That's the impression I got from the
What about the stats season. That someone made where it was like, that boy nice, 100%, likes baseball, 100%.
It really, you have to laugh. The thing, it's gonna get troubling when David Fry and Josh Naylor come back and Cole Calhoun is somehow still on the team.
Tim Gallagher.
It's gonna be disturbing. Will they carry six outfielders? That's my question.
Well, he's not just an outfielder. He's a first baseman.
He's that everything.
And exactly. He's everything. Everyone else is just Ken.
He's just Knuff. He's just Knuff.
Everyone's Knuff, but like Cole is Barbie.
He's everything.
It's just like I feel like I don't want to like him, but then like he does things, and then I'm like, but I do. And like on Wednesday, for the last Wednesday game that was home, my friends and I were there because our other friend sang the national anthem, and we were like partway through the game, and Jill was like, I think I might like Cole Calhoun.
When we got him, I was like, honestly, I was like, who? And then Cole I was Calhoun. At that Monday game last week against the Jays when he literally flew in right field to make a catch.
Because he got such a terrible jump.
He was so late.
I was sitting up in right field, so I couldn't see it. And we heard the crowd cheer, but we didn't know if that was a good thing because there's so many Jays fans there. We watched the replay. We're like, I don't think he thought he could make that.
No, that's what
that point.
I tweeted, I didn't know Cole Calhoun had that in him. And then my friend responded, I don't think Cole Calhoun knew he had that in him. So that's exactly what you said.
It reminded me of last year. We had a little slip and slide event for the kids at our church, and they wanted me to go on it. And I did the Cole Calhoun on there. And Cole Calhoun and I both have the dad bod going on. And I can tell you, it wasn't comfortable. It wasn't comfortable to do. So I wasn't really comfortable with him, but props to him. And I do think that's a perfect story, Eli, because that's how it's striking all of us, I feel like. We're like, no, he can't. And then halfway through a game, we're like, I think I might like Cole Calhoun.
World right. Series MVP.
Oh, no.
For me, he has the combination of the likability of Austin Hedges with the play of 2011 Jim Thome, and he also kind of looks like Thome too, so it's just really hard for me not to like him.
My favorite thing is his little picture. If you like just go on the MLB app and look at our roster, he literally looks like a coach.
Yes,
it's well, like when like, Scott Atchison was in the bullpen
to the rest of our team, he's like ancient. Yeah. Like, what's that meme you sent to the chat, Michael, where it's that whale that's been in the ocean?
No, that's a 387-year-old shark.
The shark. And they
he's a Greenland shark.
Like, this is the oldest vertebrate on the planet or whatever. That's Cole Calhoun in our roster.
He's our only player over 30, but because he's a couple years older, it didn't bring us up because Tana brought us down. Yeah. And now with Freeman back, he's also very young, so we still have like a 26-year-old team.
The Guardians won the first game of the Ohio Cup.
So the Ohio team won.
1-0 lead.
Cincinnati's never getting that trophy back.
Ohio won. Ohio won. Kentucky 0.
All the Guardians have to do is win one more game against the Reds, and they have the cup still. So.
Good. My best friend is a Reds fan, and this is very important to me that we win. Otherwise, I suffer.
My friend who lives in Cincinnati, she's a Bengals fan, but she's like, no, guards all the way.
Nice.
My brother's a Reds fan, and he's really annoyed that they've tied the last 10 years. He just wants one team to just win it outright because he's tired of, okay, you know, we split the first series, we split the second series, that stays in Cleveland.
It is kind of crazy that
way. It'd be really funny if we won tomorrow.
Oh, it'd be hilarious. I'd laugh so much.
You know what else was funny? Because we didn't get to talk about this yet because it happened after our last podcast. The Miles Straw home run.
Yeah, you mean the best moment of my actual life? I was so excited.
I was like, Miles, you know what would be really funny right here? And then he went and did it with Ahmed Rosario's bat, apparently.
I would.
You know what makes
oh,
me
I
sad.
Didn't hear that.
What? He did. Yeah,
they
said
on the
broadcast.
Today on
today.
The broadcast, it was Ahmed's bat. I was thrilled to hear that. Good for Ahmed. Hope he's living his best life
in LA.
He's doing well.
You know how they plant trees for every Guardians home run?
I hate the environment.
I would like to so have much. A constant camera on the Miles Straw tree. I just don't know, like. Is it
like with the Eagles, like the Peregrine Falcon that nests on the terminal tower, basically give it the same treatment.
How big will that tree get before he hits another one?
How many rings will be on this tree before Miles Straw hits another home run?
Listen,
we'll
I
pass
thought
this
he
on to his
today.
Child.
Did he get it close again? I missed.
I mean,
I missed
it wasn't that.
No, he did it, but Hammy said he hit a long fly ball deep to right field, and then
that's
it was
the track.
Yeah, it was not. Watching on TV, I never at any point thought it was going to be a home run. I was hoping it was going to get over the outfielder's head, but it didn't.
I'd forgotten that Tropicana Field, is that what it is now? Whatever it is, the Tampa Bay Field. I'd forgotten that down the lines it's like 282 or whatever. It's not that. It's just down the lines.
It's always that way because it's like about a 2-foot wall for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like 315. I almost missed it. I was at my friend's house for dinner and we left early because they were having a hard time putting their baby to the bed, and I got home and like 2 minutes later he hit the home run.
Perfect timing.
So thank God for Jillian not wanting to go to sleep. It made me be able to see Straw's homer, and like I would have died if I had missed that. Like that's the one thing that I've been hoping to see all season.
I've been waiting 84 years.
That's how I felt.
My sister was in a different room and I just screamed. I was like, get up there. And she loves Bo, so she thought Bo had like a grand slam. And I was like, no, you're not gonna believe this.
I live in a townhouse and I yelled real loud. I'm pretty sure that my neighbors probably thought like that we won the World Series or something.
Go ahead, Reese.
It's for me that two of the greatest moments in August for the Guardians have come for games that I wasn't watching because I'm watching my mental health and I'm thinking, like, I can't watch every game, you know? So during a Saturday game against the White Sox, I decided not to watch. And then I hear my mom freaking out. I'm like, okay, yeah, we scored a run. And then someone texts me, oh my goodness gracious, Jose Ramirez just punched out Tim Anderson. And I run upstairs screaming like, what? And then when Miles Straw hit the home run, I was just hanging out by myself, just talking with friends. And then I got a text, Miles Straw home run. So I'm not sure if I should not watch games now or I should watch games
didn't
now.
Didn't I text you that? Didn't I say off. Stop watching?
Yeah.
Well, they lost the Tim Anderson fight game, although they really won.
Right, I was going to say, no. But, we won that game.
Nobody's going to remember that the White Sox won that game or that series, but everybody will remember.
Yeah. It is funny.
Anderson.
It is
I'm
funny.
Sure Tim Anderson doesn't remember who won that game.
It is funny how that works that the White Sox, they won the season series against us, but no one is going to remember that. The only thing they're going to remember the White Sox this year is Jose having Michael Kopech hanging off his neck, punching Tim Anderson out.
And now Tim Anderson isn't even the most unlikable player in the league. Crazy how fast things can change.
I mean, listen, let's not wander too far off topic.
He wasn't that already because Aroldis Chapman's still in the league as well as some other
people. Yeah, that's fair.
Jack Davies. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of winners.
Anyway, yeah. What a season, what a game that was. I don't know how we're all looking at the rest of the season as far as what we're looking forward to. I get a little bit sad when I see people like saying, oh, hey, you know, I don't want to watch the Guardians anymore. I don't want to pay attention anymore because they're not. I feel like this team's been super entertaining. I don't think it's been like not entertaining. Like 2021 was rough. That was the roughest season of recent memory. But of course,
yes.
I'm old, so I remember some seasons back to 95. There have definitely been way worse seasons than this season. But this season's been
2010.
Yeah.
2010 was the worst.
Like, that was rough.
Quincy. You remember Casey Kochman?
Oh, I referenced
Casey 142 games of Casey Kochman in 2012. We all needed that.
We did.
Alyssa has her hand up, so I'm going to shut up. But like, Alyssa, Casey Kochman.
Yeah.
I don't even have anything good to say. I was just going to say that for me personally, the Guardians are just the bridge to the Browns. So I'm actually looking forward to success and watchability.
Yeah, so they're the bridge that like I jump off of when it's football season because I want to die.
I cannot believe that people I don't remember whoever said that. Whatever
it was under one of my tweets too.
Oh jeez, just the Guardians have become just a bridge to the Browns. The Browns have been more watchable than the Guardians. Just say you don't like baseball.
That's and it's okay not to like baseball. It's right. Perfectly valid. I don't care. Right. It's fine. Right. It's cool. Whatever.
Also,
I mean, it's valid. You're also a knuckle dragger, but that's fine. It's fine to be a knuckle dragger.
Also, going back to bad seasons we've had, being an 03 baby, I do not know 94. And unlike Sax Daxson, I have not researched 1994 to know what it was like going through I'm a fair weather Guardians fan.
When she said being an 03 baby, I saw Mike turn into the Greenland shark right there. I saw it.
My clarity in remembering Manny Acto was brought into question by the same familiar fellow just mentioned. And I could not believe my ears. Yeah, all 3 years of the era.
I just want to say this. This is a Ryan Garko stan podcast. Let's just say that out of the gate.
Okay. Is that Ryan Garko? Or first baseman Ryan Garko?
Oh.
Yeah.
Right fielder, left fielder, Ryan Garko.
First baseman.
Catcher Ryan Garko, that's my guy.
I'm with Reese on this. First baseman Ryan Garko is the boy. I remember that.
Everybody, speaking, prepare your best Ryan Garko story, okay? Because I've got one. I went to a bunch of games in 2007. And I went to them with my sister Noelle. I have five sisters. Noelle's the one right underneath of me, and so we would go to a lot of games. And we went to a game late in the season that they really needed to win. And Ryan Garko hit a grounder to the shortstop. And it was just a grounder to the shortstop. Kenny Lofton was on. Kenny Lofton was on. We needed him to score. And I swear to you, some invisible being took that grounder and threw it into left field. Because there was no way it should have bounced like it did, but it was just like routinely bouncing. And then it just whoop went over the shortstop's head. We won the game and I'll never forget it. And it was Ryan Garko that hit that. So he's got some connections with invisible beings. I know that.
Speaking of Kenny Lofton, I learned today he was the first ever batter at Great American Ballpark.
No kidding.
Interesting.
Really? Yeah.
Hammy said during the first inning that when the stadium opened in 2003, the Pirates were in town and Kenny Lofton was the leadoff hitter.
Oh, forgot he played for the Pirates.
I did too. I completely wiped that out of my brain, apparently.
It wasn't long.
You know, I used to think Pirates fans were kind of nice, but then I've been reading about how they treat Austin Hedges.
Yeah, they booed Austin Hedges.
They booed him because they like have minor league catchers that they've been waiting on for a couple years, and Henry Davis, and Andy Rodriguez.
Give Austin to someone who will appreciate him, but it's not Austin's fault they have those catchers. Don't boo him.
So well, Mike, it is his fault he's batting $115. Yeah, it is, actually. But
Mike, my question is, yes, I hear you. Do you think that, so if Hedges was here, would Cleveland fans have booed him? Did people boo Zanino?
Well,
there was one game.
There were people who booed Mike Zanino at the Astros game, the bell tolling on Tristan McKenzie's season as well. But yeah, they were, he was throwing things into center field and like my dad was booing.
I remember them bleak. Booing
Zanino. Yeah.
I remember that.
Booed Hedges because Austin was pretty like even
he was here for 3 years. It was
like,
different.
We loved like he was pretty.
He wasn't a mercenary. He wasn't brought to block people that were expected to be special.
He was
so
a great
I get why they were impatient with him.
Yeah. I got mad. Eli, did you bring up? No, it was Allie. You brought up that Hammy said Maylee wanted to. I don't know. Stay in Cleveland.
He said that basically Maylee wanted to stay in Cleveland, but by the time the Reds had offered him, Cleveland had not, and he couldn't take the risk of not having a job, so he had to take the Reds' offer.
Why couldn't we have just offered?
Zanino was probably looked like a better bet.
I don't know. For Cam Gallagher to hit.
Cam Gallagher would have happened either way, I believe.
Maylee signed before Murphy got traded, though, so I think that I'd probably give the Guardians a little pass there because they may have been trying to get Murphy. And I do wonder if they hadn't gotten Murphy, if they would have gone back to Maylee, but I guess...
Or Hedges. I think they both moved on.
I will cry. I cry when I think about Hedges because he's such a good leader. And like Calhoun, he's just a really likable guy. And I think he was great leader for especially a young team. I know Quan called him and Maylee his dads on MLB Network. But also the Pirates fans, when we're all, you know, standing up for our guy, I know Greg, like, went off and they would, like, post a picture of Watson. Like, okay, so you have no argument. You're just an awful person. And then also you have Sean Lance or whatever getting...
We're really bringing...
Don't get me started. Please do not get me started scoundrel.
Let's go back.
This dude gets mad at anything you say. You could be like, I like Stephen Kwan. He'd be like, Stephen Kwan had a strikeout today. Like, it's anything. So with people, they were like, I hope Austin Hedges gets a ring with the Rangers, with the great leader that he is after the treatment he got, despite being really good defensively and being the best framer out there. I think that he deserves a ring. This guy was so mad that there were people saying that.
Well, and I think
he's a miserable person. He stays by himself. He's like, I'd rather spend days solitary than hang out with people.
That.
I'm like, well, of course. But the less I think about him, the happier I am.
The happier I am.
To bring this back to baseball on the field, I do have a question. Mm-hmm. They clearly didn't want to bring Hedges or Maylee back.
Mm-hmm.
What was their plan as a mentor for Bo? Was Cam Gallagher there? Like, that's the guy we want to mentor Bo? Because they had to have, like Bo was coming up this year. Mm-hmm. And Zanino's a traffic cone behind the plate. He cannot catch or block.
So but I the know they were like.
Go ahead, Alyssa.
Okay. So I know, like, obviously Zanino was a gamble, but I just remember, and they said, like, Bo would come up, like, eventually in the season, didn't know the time frame, but I just remember us having that dilemma during spring training of who's getting that backup catcher position. So I don't know if when Cam Gallagher was in camp, they were like, okay, let's bring him in for that mentorship role, whereas we hope for Zanino's bat. And then you have Mabry's Valoria.
I'm just curious because Cam's defense has fallen off a cliff since he's gotten more playing time.
And his batting average, I didn't realize it was that low.
Austin Hedges look like Barry Bonds.
But Bo doesn't really have a leader that's on the 40-man right now. He's got Sandy, which is great, but he doesn't have like a bona fide everyday catcher.
He does. Andrew, I mean, he's not in Cleveland right now, but Sandy Leon is in AAA right now.
I just like they had pride. He's a two-way player.
Look, there's no dilemma here at all. There's Sandy Leon, and that's all we need.
Sandy Leon is hurt, though, isn't he?
Just bring him up here. Have him sit in the dugout and mentor Bo. There you go.
I think I think Zunino and Gallagher probably are both fine mentors. You don't actually have to be playing that great to be a mentor. You just, and Bo's mainly just learning about how to call a game and how to handle pitchers. And, that's what
I think Sandy's really helped with that too.
Sandy Alomar. How many mentors does Bo really need?
Yeah.
All of them. We need all of them. It takes a village of catchers to learn how to catch. To raise a
village. But I think, like, Bo is catching, like, pitchers that he caught, like, because all our actual pitchers got hurt. Like, this is just, like, the same batteries that he caught in AAA, too. So that's also probably helpful.
I know Fry was, like, once he caught Class A, he was like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah. I also just want to shout out Bo, because I feel like a lot of the games our pitchers have been doing really well lately have been Bo-caught games. I think he knows what he's doing a little bit.
And I know my favorite follower, both on my main and Guardians Out of Context, Coach Bybee, I know he's very grateful for our catchers and has had nice things to say about both Bo and Cam.
And Zach Meisel's article recently on a Bybee at bat, Bybee said how much work Bo does and how that played into it, and that was a great examination of that bat, because they just threw the guy sliders until he just couldn't handle any more sliders. And if that's the kind of thing you want to see, guys that are creative.
If you watch Bo's interviews, I think it was after Gavin Williams' 12 strikeout game, they'll like talk to him, and then if they ask him about his pitcher, like, his whole demeanor changes. Like, Bo literally lights up talking about his pitchers, which I absolutely love.
That is great. He's going to be good. Anybody that's doubting if he's going to be good, they need to rethink. He's going to be good.
Really stable floor of offensive production with Bo, too, with the way he can take pitches and get walks.
If he disagrees, at least right now. After his knees die, maybe not. But like, for now,
he might be JT Realmuto in that regard too. Like, he might be able to carry that into his 30s.
Like, we haven't had a fast catcher in a long time, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not going to compare him to Jason Kendall or anything, but like, that's a pretty speedy guy.
As we close up here pretty soon, Reese, how are you doing without Josh Naylor playing?
Without your son.
My baby boy. Look, I'll always say this about Josh Naylor. I loved him when a lot of people were talking crud about him. And I always pointed to one thing. The enthusiasm he had for this sport was infectious. When he went out with that terrible injury in 2021, I was devastated. In 2022, I was wary. But 2022 was where I became a firm believer. This year, he has shown how good of a player he can be. And it sucks not seeing him play. But knowing that he's in the dugout right now, still cheering on his brother, still cheering on his baseball brothers, gives me a lot of hope. Because you cannot buy that energy. Like, yes, you could probably get a, you know, on paper, better batter than Austin Hedges, but you're not going to get those vibes. Could get someone in, you know, in the bullpen, but will it ever replace Bartolo Colon? You know, those are just like certain players that I think in my mind, like, even if they're not good at one thing, they're great in a myriad of other places. And Josh is both good, is actually great at defense, underrated defenseman, should have, if he was in the Golden Glove this year, hope he still does. Offensively, he is a juggernaut, and as a locker room vibe, that man's irreplaceable in my eyes.
Extend him.
Please extend him.
When you
extend him 15 years, $500 million. As far as I'm concerned. But then again, I'm a sick of
money.
So.
I think that if you go back and you look at, you know, tweets and my comments on Covering the Corner, I've always been a firm Josh Naylor believer, because there just are guys that you're like, hey, he's got the tools. He's going to figure it out. And you can see the mindset there in him that he's going to figure it out. But to me, if you had any doubts about Josh Naylor and you saw him hit go-ahead home runs in three straight eighth innings, you just at that point have to say the man is different. He is just different.
He's built different.
He's built different. Yeah,
it's actually funny to say that. It's funny you say that because I was looking back at my tweets and I'm going to censor myself for the podcast here because there's video footage. If you want the uncensored, look at my Twitter. I was at a bar and I had my Nailer jersey on. It was during the Saturday game, I believe, where that happened. I am down on my knees, rally cap presence, praying to the baseball gods that Josh Naylor comes in clutch. He does. There's video footage of me freaking out. And to paraphrase what I say, to heck what you say about Josh Naylor hitting against left-handed pitchers, he got that heckin' gosh darn dog in him.
I cried when that happened.
I about did. It was incredible. And I
he got that dog.
My other favorite thing about Josh is, like, even though he doesn't like talking about himself, when you ask him about his teammates, the way that he lights up and will talk about them so articulately and also just like so enthusiastically and in like encouragingly and always says like how like he has their backs or whatever, like that just makes my little heart so happy. Like he could be a motivational speaker and like get people fired up. Like for like if baseball ever didn't work out, like I just love him for that.
He's the most Canadian baseball player I've ever known. Like on the field, he's an absolute menace. But as soon as you get a microphone in his face, he's like, "Oh no, no, it was not me." You know, I'm going about here. You know,
and Cal.
Yes, Cal too.
And just, Bo, you know, must be a Canadian thing.
Bo has like a little Spanglish accent going that he's developed since learning Spanish for his pictures.
I love it.
I would say on the topic of Josh Naylor being the leader that he is, I still find it very disappointing and disrespectful that a media outlet labeled as Cleveland still has yet to apologize or take accountability for trying to say that Josh Naylor was faking injury because he was upset about a trade. And again, we know ESPN Cleveland, all they care about is the Browns, their background's the Browns, we get it. But when Josh Naylor's fiance is liking tweets of those of us defending him and fighting back with ESPN Cleveland, that's concerning.
Josh Naylor's the type of a leader that will put everything on his back to make everyone else's life easier. Like we've seen that time and time again. When he hits a ball 475 feet and, you know, they ask him, you know, what were you thinking at that at bat? He goes, well, my teammates did a good job working the pitcher. When we saw last Saturday with the fight, he was in there to defend Jose.
He
was in there to get Class A out of there before Class A got himself in a lot of trouble.
The guy with blue hair.
There's also a story. Bo apparently has not paid for a single meal since being called up. Like Josh is taking care of his brother. And it's just everything that comes out about him in that locker room. He is the type of guy that he will do all the dirty work for everyone to make sure that their life is easier. And I think that's something that's not talked a lot about his character, is that
natural born leader.
He doesn't care how much work he has to do as long as everyone around him is happy and their lives are easier.
Well, makes like the thing about how he was supposedly faking that injury so much more insulting, because it's like the last thing he would ever do.
Literally.
It's not him. And I mean, obviously he's on the IL now. So like he was clearly not faking.
That's what I said to them.
I was sad.
All I got to say is that ESPN stands for Extremely Stupid People Network Cleveland. That's all I got to say.
The local branch being the worst.
I was going to say, I felt sad for Naylor that I didn't realize he was real close to Aaron Civale. So that was sad. And I also felt kind of bad listening to the press conference from Antonetti talking about acquiring Manzardo, because I was really hoping Antonetti would say, "Hey, we have Josh Naylor and we're super excited about that. Manzardo and him will fit well together." He didn't say that. I'm sure he thinks that. I'm sure he believes that. But if it were me, I would have been like, "Hey, I want to be out in front of this because he's crucial to the future of our team."
Right.
So I felt bad about those two things, but obviously saying anything about faking an injury or anything like that, it's just ridiculous. You know, it's just stupid. So,
Hey, Tony Rizzo. apologize and take accountability for once in your life.
Accountability.
Nope, the platform. What is accountability?
Do what you want. I was gonna say we were talking about people whose influence can be felt for a long time. One of my favorite things about the fight was the little screenshot of Guardians relievers pretending to hold Brian Shaw back.
I tweeted that. Okay, so I was watching the fight frame by frame because I was also trying to figure out who ripped open Eli's jersey, which someone said perfect, but I'm not sure. But anyway, there's at one point where, because our relievers came out first and then the White Sox relievers. So Sam Hentges and Nick Sandlin are standing there. Sam looks over his shoulder. I see him smile, and the two of them then put up their elbows to block Shaw so he can't get through.
Boy, it was just, like, I don't know. I love that. I felt
Shaw was,
like
protecting Class
still,
A at
yeah,
one point.
Yeah, Shaw was 100% on our side in that and just, like, didn't want to be too obvious about it. But you can tell when you watch the movie.
His expression, go back and look at Guardians Out of Context, because his expression there is, like, total bemusement of, like, this is funny.
Sam Hentges has also got the big grin on his face.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a one point where Shaw, like, lightly taps one of our bullpen pitchers on the side. It's like, okay. Whoa.
I got
at one
fight.
Point when
the
they're
fight.
Going at Class A, he's kind of like holding Class A back, not to like get away from my guy, but like, hey, like, I got you.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of the fight, I think my favorite moment I didn't see until the John Boy breakdown. If you haven't watched it, go watch that. Andrew Vaughn had never took his eyes off Tim Anderson.
That was my
supervisor.
Carries him off the field once. The people in the dugout fail to keep him there. He comes back, and just out of the crowd, you see Andrew Vaughn with those big eyes just staring Tim Anderson down.
He was nowhere to be seen. Like, I didn't see
him
on breakdown either.
And looks super grumpy and pissed that Anderson was back on the field. He goes, I already put you in timeout once. Don't make me do it again.
It was very much
out
like
of nowhere.
It was very much a dad look on his face. I've definitely had that look before. Like, I told you, you can't go out there. And hey, mom's not paying attention.
But dad,
come on.
I want to punch Jose.
Oh, no, you really don't, son. You really don't.
Pick on someone your own size.
Yeah, unfortunately, that would be a bigger ask because Jose is smaller than Tim Anderson.
Smaller than Tim Anderson.
Like when I walked by Jose when I worked at Progressive Field, like legit, probably like 5 inches shorter than me, and it was just it really warped my mind.
As a very short person myself, always looking out for the little guys. So Tim Anderson going after Jose, whoever is going after Eli, I am your enemy now. Not cool. Don't come for short people.
Just remember about Jose, he's made it this far in the majors because he's got incredibly strong and quick wrists. Incredibly strong forearms, and he comes from the streets of the Dominican, which are different than any streets that you'll encounter here in the U.S.
So, well,
everybody
Crocker
remember
Park.
That.
Amen.
But Crocker Park.
Yeah.
The mean streets of Westlake, Ohio.
Mean streets of Westlake represent!
All right. Well, thank you, Reese. Thanks for spending some time with us, and I'll let you guys go to bed now. So, everybody...
Hey, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Everybody come find Reese and I and others on Hive and Blue Sky and also on the Musk hellhole that is Twitter. All right. Thanks. Bye.
This has been the Cleveland Guardians Fancast. You can find us on any major podcast platform. Please remember to like, subscribe, download, rate, and review. Thank you for listening.